Chapter 6 The Maya Revealed. Copan, Honduras, 1840. Monkeys were on the move in the treetops. The crackling of the dry branches they broke shattered the silence of the forest and disturbed the peace of the deserted city across the river. 40 or 50 of the apes moved in procession, like the spirits of those unknown people who had once dwelt in the mysterious ruins. Overgrown pyramids towered up among the trees. John Lloyd Stevens, 1805-52, an American traveler and lawyer, and Frederick Catherwood, 1799-1854, a talented English artist, were transfixed by their first glimpse of ancient Maya architecture. They pushed their way through the undergrowth and stumbled across some elaborately carved upright stones. They had never seen architecture or art like this before. Both men were experienced adventurers. Stevens had been born in New Jersey. He entered Columbia University at the age of 13 and graduated top of his class in 1822. His training was in law, but he preferred politics and travel. Stevens cut his teeth on a trip out west as far as Pittsburgh and beyond. In 1834, he set off on a 2-year expedition that took him across Europe as far as Poland and Russia. Then he explored the Nile Valley and Jerusalem. He also went to Petra, at the time a remote and dangerous place. The great camel caravan city with its rock-cut temples electrified him. Petra gave Stevens a passion for ancient civilizations almost overnight. A gifted storyteller, he started writing to his family about his travels. Some of his letters appeared in New York newspapers and were widely enjoyed. He wrote 2 books about his adventures, both called Incidents of Travel. One was about Egypt and the Holy Land, and the other was an account of Poland, Turkey, and Russia. Stevens had a direct, entertaining writing style, and he was a perceptive observer of people and places. Both books became bestsellers and established him as a first-rate travel writer. Through his fellow authors, he met the artist Frederick Catherwood. London-born Catherwood had superb artistic talent, which came to the fore when he visited Italy in 1821. Like Stevens, he was a restless wanderer. Between 1822 and 1835, Catherwood traveled widely in the Middle East. In Egypt, he worked with traveler Robert Hay, who visited and studied numerous sites. He also visited Jerusalem, where he drew the virtually inaccessible, decorated roof of the 11th-century Islamic dome of the Rock Shrine. To do so, Catherwood used a camera lucida, basically a mirror that reflected the image of the roof onto his drawing board. Back in London, Catherwood created an enormous panoramic scene of Jerusalem, which proved hugely popular. Stevens and Catherwood met for the first time at the exhibit in 1836. Later that year, Catherwood brought it to New York and set up business as an architect. By then, the two men had become friends, sharing an enthusiasm for adventure and ancient civilizations. An unsmiling man, Catherwood had an entirely different personality from Stevens. Constantly searching for new opportunities, the artist drew his friend's attention to 2 little-known publications that described mysterious ruins in the forests of Central America. They agreed that they would look for them one day. Fortunately, both Catherwood's architecture and the exhibit made good money, as did Stevens' books, and so they were able to travel. To smooth their passage, Stevens managed to land a job as an American diplomat in Central America. On October 3, 1839, the two friends left New York for a small, isolated coastal town named Belize, now in the country of the same name. From there, they would travel inland to ruins at a place called Copan. The overland journey through the forested Yucatan Peninsula was tough. The political situation was chaotic. Their mules sank into the mud on the narrow trail. Eventually, they reached the village of Copan, with its half-dozen run-down huts. The next day, a guide led them through fields and dense forest to a riverbank. On the opposite side, they spotted a wall of the Maya city. Stevens and Catherwood arrived, not knowing what to expect. They crossed the river on horseback and found themselves in a complex of terraces and pyramids. Unexpectedly, they came across a square stone column sculpted in high relief with the figure of a man and elaborate hieroglyphs. It was instantly clear to them that the architecture and art styles at Copan were different from anything in the Mediterranean world. The builders had erected pyramids, now overgrown, separated by courts and plazas. Elaborate hieroglyphs, carved into stucco, a fine plaster, covered the buildings, and there was a series of richly decorated individual columns, known technically as stelae. Copan stelae, which depicted portraits of rulers, lined processional ways in the central plaza. There were also to be found near a large royal complex of overlapping stepped pyramids, plazas, and palaces that formed the main core of the city. The tallest pyramid, now known as Temple 16, once stood more than 30 meters high. Stevens was moved to eloquence about the brooding forest in the plazas, as perfect as any Roman amphitheater. "The city was desolate," he wrote. "All was mystery, dark, impenetrable mystery. Who had built these amazing monuments?" he wondered. The hieroglyphs were quite unlike those of the Egyptians, and the local Indians had no idea who had constructed Copan. Stevens compared it to a shipwreck. "It lay before us like a shattered bark." With a compass and a tape measure, they mapped the ancient city by cutting straight lines through the forest. This was the first plan of any Maya site. Unlike Layard and Mesopotamia, they did no digging, but instead relied on measurements and careful observations to tell Copan's story. Catherwood settled down to draw the elaborately decorated stelae and reliefs, a complex task that tested his artistic ability. Meanwhile, Stevens pondered who had built Copan. He realized at once that it was not the work of ancient Egyptians or of some other civilization that had sailed across the Atlantic many centuries earlier. This was an exotic, unique city. If they could transport even a small portion of the ruins to New York, it would make a wonderful exhibit. After much bargaining, Stevens bought Copan from the local owner for $50. Fortunately for future archaeologists, the river would not support barges, and so he could not actually move anything. Stevens spent only 13 days at Copan, but Catherwood stayed much longer. He worked in heavy rain, with mud up to his ankles, plagued by mosquitoes. The reliefs were hard to see except in strong light. His task was enormous, for Copan extended over nearly 3 kilometers and had 3 main courts, pyramids, and temples. Eventually, Stevens and Catherwood met up in Guatemala City. Stevens now abandoned any thoughts of a diplomatic career. The two men decided to check out reports of another overgrown city known as Palenque in southern Mexico, said to be as spectacular as Copan. The journey took them through very rough terrain. By this time, they had switched to broad-brimmed hats and loose-fitting clothing for comfort, just like the locals. The final stages of the journey were appalling, despite the assistance of 40 native porters. They often had to cut their way through dense undergrowth. But finally, Palenque loomed out of the forest. This center was much smaller than Copan. It had been ruled by Pakal the Great from A.D. 615 to 683, and his funeral monument was the magnificent Temple of the Inscriptions. He was buried under the Temple Pyramid, which was finally excavated in 1952. Stevens and Catherwood set up camp in Pakal's palace complex. It was so wet that candles were useless, and Stevens amused himself by reading a newspaper by the light of fireflies. Besieged by mosquitoes and heavy rain, the two men stumbled through buildings that were practically invisible because of the clinging vegetation. While Catherwood sketched, Stevens built crude ladders and cleared the walls of the palace for the artist. The thick-walled and elaborately decorated structure enclosed several courtyards and measured 91 meters in length. The men made a rough plan in a few weeks, but the humidity and swarms of insects drove them away. Aware of the money-making and scientific potential of Palenque, Stevens attempted to buy the ruins for $1,500, far more than the $50 for the much remoter Copan. But when he discovered that he would have to marry a local woman to seal the deal, he backed off hastily. The two men fled in search of another Maya center, Uxmal. Unfortunately, Catherwood fell seriously ill with fever and only managed a single day at that magnificent site. In July 1840, the two men returned to New York, where Stevens started work on Incidents of Travel in Central America, Chiapas and Yucatan, which became a bestseller a year later. The book showcased Stevens at his best, being written in an easy narrative style. It was, of course, a travel book, but Stevens approached the three great sites from the perspective of someone who was thoroughly familiar with the local Indians. He recognized that the people who had built the Copan, Palenque, and Uxmal shared a common culture. Their art rivaled the finest works of the Mediterranean civilizations and was of local origin. Stevens ended the book with a clear statement based on his observations and conversations with the local people. The ruins he had seen had been built by the ancestors of the local Maya. Stevens was not alone in writing about the Maya. His book appeared 2 years before the Boston historian William H. Prescott published his classic Conquest of Mexico in 1843. Prescott drew on Stevens's work, ensuring that it was widely read by fellow scholars. Meanwhile, only 15 months after their return to New York, Catherwood and Stevens went back to Central America, determined to spend more time at Uxmal. From November 1841 to January 1842, they stayed at the ruins, mapping, surveying, and drawing perhaps the most magnificent of all Maya centers. Uxmal is famous for its temple pyramids and long palace buildings. It controlled a local state from AD 850 to 925. Once again, the men did not excavate, but concentrated on getting a sense of the site and of its main building, the so-called nunnery. Catherwood tried to make as accurate a record as possible so that he could create a replica back in New York. Despite attacks of fever, Stevens managed to visit other sites in the vicinity, such as Caba. He recovered a few wooden door beams inscribed with hieroglyphs, which he eventually took to New York. Traveling light, they rode across the Yucatan. They spent 18 days at Chichen Itza, already famous for its great stepped pyramid, the Castillo, and its huge ball court. They also met some local scholars who shared valuable historical information with them. Catherwood and Stevens visited Cozumel and Tulum, places noted by the first Spanish explorers, where there was little to see except clouds of mosquitoes. With that, the two travelers returned to New York in June 1842. Another bestseller, Stevens's Incidents of Travel in Yucatan, duly appeared 9 months later. In the final chapters of the book, he reaffirmed that the Maya ruins were the work of local people who prospered until the Spanish conquest. All subsequent research on Maya civilization is based on his forthright conclusion. This was the end of the two men's archaeological adventures. Both returned to Central America to contribute to railroad projects. When malaria caught up with them, they left. Stevens died in New York in 1852, weakened by years of tropical fever. Catherwood perished in a collision at sea off Newfoundland 2 years later. 40 years were to pass before any scientific work was done at the sites they had recorded in words and sketches. Like Austin Henry Layard, John Lloyd Stevens was content to describe and record, leaving excavation to his successors. Apart from the difficulties of travel, he had no funds for digging, and in any case, he was writing a travel book. Ancient Maya civilization was swallowed up by the forest after the Spaniards arrived in the 15th century. However, the modern descendants of those who built Palenque and the other great centers still maintained many elements of the old Maya culture, including ancient ritual traditions. With their drawings and publications, Catherwood and Stevens ensured that Maya civilization never again vanished into historical oblivion.